So in my short history of giving sermons, I imagine it may be a little difficult to focus on what I have to say after this, but here we go. And I did learn that, so St. Francis had a haircut called a tonsure, and the spirit of it, it's a cut like this, and the spirit of it is to announce vanity or pride of appearance. And so in that spirit, here we go. So more than 50 years ago, the historian Lynn White wrote in Science magazine a controversial and strong argument for the historical roots of our ecological crisis. He located these roots in Western science, technology, and religion, and specifically Christianity. However, he also proposed that if the roots of the crisis are partly religious, religion may also be part of the solution. White offered St. Francis as a patron saint for ecologists and for our time. The greatest spiritual revolutionary in Western history, White wrote, St. Francis proposed what he thought was an alternative Christian view of nature and humans' relationship to it. He tried to substitute the idea of the equality of all creatures, including humans, for the idea of humans' limitless rule over creation. Now, whether you agree with all of White's argument or not, St. Francis has had a powerful legacy of bringing to light and care those created lives that often have been left out of Christianity's most well-known stories and history. Here is St. Francis' Canticle of Brother Sun and Sister Moon, where the living beings of the created world are recognized as our siblings. Praised be you, my Lord, with all your creatures, especially Sir Brother Sun, who is the day through whom you give us light, and he is beautiful and radiant with great splendor. Praise be to you, my Lord, through Sister Moon and the stars. In the heavens you have made them bright, precious, and fair. Praise be you, my Lord, through brothers wind and air, and fair and stormy, all weather's moods, by which you cherish all that you have made. Praise be you, my Lord, through Sister Water, so useful, humble, precious, and pure. Praise be you, my Lord, through Brother Fire, through whom you light the night. Praise be you, my Lord, through our sister Mother Earth, who sustains and governs us, producing varied fruits with colored flowers and herbs. The canticle continues with final praises to Sister Death and to God. St. Francis brought to religious imagination those created siblings that are part of our lives, also created, however complicated and even painful our relationship to one another. Whatever the origins of the Western divide between our human selves and the environment on which we depend, or our earthly life and heavenly life as it's been constructed, I believe the life of faith today needs to tend to this wound, to see the often neglected and unseen, the coral, the monk seals, the humpback whales, the monstera. I once wrote a paper for a New Testament course on viticulture, or wine growing. I wanted to explore how the readers of the Gospels may have heard references to vineyards, grapes, vines, and all associated with this kind of farming. For those of you who may have visited the Holy Land, you may have more exact images of wine presses on hillsides cut in rock. From my studies, I learned that wine growing was prolific. Vineyardscapes were part and parcel of life in this region. In fact, vineyards may have been present in the Syria-Palestine area as early as 3500 BC. The first cultivated plant mentioned in the Hebrew scriptures is the vine. And there are, through the scriptures, more than 200 references to vines, vineyards, grapes, raisins, vinegar, and workers of vineyards. Vineyards were perhaps as alive to the rural imagination than as cornfields would be to those in Kansas, Nebraska, and Iowa today. The ubiquity of vineyards and their commercial presence may be lost on us reading these scriptures today. And so I bring this to our attention. They were very familiar. But the agrarian imagination was also very alive to the ancient Hebrews. The audience in today's gospel reading likely would have heard a reference to their own holy scriptures, the beloved vineyard of Isaiah 5. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard, says Isaiah. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. The rest of the message is about a wayward Israel who has lost sight of justice. The rich are richer still, and the poor are poorer yet. Sour grapes indeed. But the point for this sermon is that the vineyard and the grapes are named and known. They are seen. They are as close as one's own land or one's neighbor's, or the land one must work. Now, there is an uncomfortable part of this gospel passage that bears naming. Matthew may indeed be suggesting that the Jewish leaders and their community have lost God's favor. Christianity and those of us in the tradition need to reckon with the anti-Semitism present at its very beginnings, even in Scripture. It is an uncomfortable topic with a brutal history. The courage to admit wrongdoing and love of neighbor call us to task. Today, I won't explore this any deeper than to acknowledge its presence in today's reading. For today, this feast of St. Francis, I want to turn attention to the vineyard and the often unseen and neglected that are part of it and that work in it, those that actually produce its fruits. Whether Jew or Christian, Greek or Roman, I wonder about the vineyard workers, the vines, and the animals in the fields. Who, for starts, were the slaves that were sent to the tenants? What were their names? How early did they rise? What did they whisper to their children in the dark of the night when they were finally able to rest? Did they whisper hopes for a free future? What did they laugh about? What did they sing about? What sounds did they hear in the fields while they worked their hands over vine and grape? Were their feet stained with the treading press? What animals did the workers bring with them as they approached the tenants, expecting to load harvest wagons? Was there a favored ox? What animals were their company in the fields? Did they hear the songs of birds? Did they swear at the ants and mosquitoes? Did they suffer bites and itches? And before the sun was sent, who grieved the deaths of these workers? Who knew the color of their eyes, their smiles, the way they cried, or the sound of their laughter? The stories of the workers are untold, left only to our imagination, and also along with what might be the main character, the vineyard itself. These are all part of the unseen labors on which life depends. And somehow, God is in the midst. My beloved has a vineyard, Isaiah reminds us, as does St. Francis. Brother grape, sister vine, perhaps. God is there at the very heart of production, somewhere amidst the hands and hoofs and paws, the soil and millions of microbes doing their work, seen and unseen. God is with the laborers, the pollinators, the load bearers. Praised be to you, Creator God, mystery in whom all life comes to be, who sustains the cornfields, the vineyards, all the animals that are our kindred and companions, dogs, cats, fish, birds, pigs, ducks, trees, vines, wheat, and grapes. Guide us in producing fruit worthy of the vineyard of our beloved. Join us now for the hymn of the day.